what happens. Hey, look at that. Second time's a charm. And of course we've lost our transcriber. Let's see if this works. Hey, it's working. Okay. All right. Todd, let's take that as maybe the first item. How much time do you need for that?
I just really wanted some clarification on the, how we're supposed to handle the options being passed
okay.
in.
Okay. All right. So let's go ahead and take that up right after we do introductions and relevant community updates. Any other, topics to cover today? Okay. If not, let's go ahead and get into the agenda. Is there anyone new to the call? Todd, maybe you could give a little bit of your background since you're new
here.
Yeah,
sure. I'm representing GS1 US today. I believe Paul Dietrich, who was involved with the calls previously, he couldn't make it today. I've been working with did VC stuff for the last year and a half. Recently, we've been starting a new project, trying to get a better handle on what you guys are doing, as well as some of the stuff going on with the Border Patrol traceability. Sweet stuff. That's pretty much all.
Great. Welcome to the group, Todd. Good to see you here.
Yeah, thanks.
Anyone else that's new to the call that wants to do an introduction or reintroduction if you've changed jobs or just want to say hi again? All right. Then next up is relevant community updates. Please feel free to queue if you've got any. I've got a couple. One of them is that, the verifiable credential data integrity spec, is going to be going to first public working draft. The vote for that is tomorrow, I believe. So let me add this, link in here. So there's a PR to do a first public working draft of data integrity, and that covers all the securing verifiable credentials if you're using the JSON-LD form of those things. So there's that. The other heads up, and we'll go into this in a bit, we're going to cover some pull requests, but there's a number of pull requests that have been raised against the Verifiable Credentials API due to kind of implementation feedback, so we should probably cover those. Forgot to mention those at the top of the agenda. Anything else? Any other updates, things that we should know about? Oh, I totally forgot to mention also that, the Jobs for the Future Plugfest number 2 is happening, right now. And we have been, busily integrating, people that have implemented it over Chappie or using the Verifiable Credential API. Today we have, let me try and go to, the Issuer Playground. Share my screen here. So today we've got the following issuers implemented API catalog. That's a Java-based implementation. Danube Tech, that's Marcus's implementation. Learning Economy is the newest addition to the issuer backends. Measure.io, and of course the Verus demo issuer. So we've got these 5 with a couple more on the way. There are at least 2 to 3 more that are on the way that we're going to, integrate with this. And that's basically for issuing, you know, jobs for the future badges. But the good news here is that we're going to be adding more and more credentials, as time goes on, to this list. And so if anyone in the group wants a credential here, like a specific type of verifiable credential, definitely let us know and we'll try to integrate it into the list of credentials. We also have a credential examples thing that we're putting together where anybody can contribute verifiable credential kind of templates and they'll be added to the list. And then using that, you can select the backend issuing framework select whether or not you want DidAuth and then issue the credential and then put it into any wallet that supports either web-based digital wallets through Chappie or native wallets through Chappie. So yeah, that's going on. And again, I think we've got 3 digital wallets and 5 issuers so far that have integrated, with a couple more on the way, more wallets and more issuers there. Okay, I think that's it for announcements. Go ahead, Patrick.
Sorry, what's the name of this event?
The Jobs for the Future Plugfest. So it's JFF Plug Jobs here for the future. So it's these, if this will load, it's Jobs for the Future, these folks, and it's, Walmart Foundation has funded a big plug fest, for verifiable credential issuers, digital wallets, verifiers. It's happening in 3, stages. We're in stage 2 now. Stage 2 ends, the second phase ends mid-November, and then the third phase is going to test wallet stuff. And Dimitri put a link in the chat channel if you're interested in learning more.
Right. Thank you.
Okay. Anything else before we move on from here? All right. Todd, why don't we pick up your question first? This is VC options.
Yeah, we've been working on implementing our own version of the VC API, and just want to get some clarification or where we can maybe find some examples what people are doing with the domain and the challenge when they're issuing a single credential. Not sure exactly what to do with those options or how they would reflect the VC API.
Gotcha. So, in the VP request spec, I think we have an example, in DID authentication around how domain and challenge is used. So, how domain, I'm going to put something in the chat channel for you to copy. How domain. So, with the VC API, and if you're using the verifiable presentation request, thing, and you're doing something like DID authentication, when a DID authentication comes across, it gives you a challenge and a domain. And what you're supposed to do is you're supposed to include that challenge and the domain in your response. So the site, the verifier will say, I need you to DID authenticate with me. I support, you know, these DID methods. Here's a challenge and here's a domain that you need to include in your response. And then when you respond, what you do is you create a verifiable presentation and sign it. You know, this is you, the holder, or signing it. And in the proof block, you're supposed to include the challenge, ensure the domain matches the domain you're talking to, and then include the domain as well. Did that answer your question, Todd, or?
A little bit. Okay. Yeah. So, we're just working with the VC API test suite right now and focusing on issuing. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't clear to us. So this is like a
You don't have to include it. For the test suite, for just the test suite, you don't need to include domain or challenge. The test suite only tests the backend API for issuance. Meaning like you've got, you know, let's say you've got like a GS1 system that that's sitting at the edge of the internet. And then behind that GS1 system in your own security domain, you've got a verifiable credential issuing platform. The call is going to be purely in your security domain, like your area of trust. So you're just going to call the issuer, and the issuer, based on like some kind of OAuth2 authentication you do with it, is going to trust you, and it's going to just issue a credential with whatever you say it should issue. So for the VC API test suite specifically, let me make sure we're talking about the same thing, the API. It's the issuer, here. It's this one, the issuer test suite?
Yes, I believe so, yep.
Okay, yeah, this one does not require challenge or domain to be sent in the options.
Gotcha, okay. But if you do want to do DID authorization, that's where you would expect to get these in, and then you would do a like basically would verify who's calling you.
Exactly.
And then that you were expecting them to call you.
Yep. Okay. You got it. Yep. And that happens more in the exchanges stuff. So if you look at PC API, if I this is still in there. Let me check to make sure. If we look at the exchanges endpoints, that's where you would expect there to be some kind of DID auth. So the second you initiate an exchange, the whoever you're exchanging with, like the verifier, would the verifier would respond with this. So if you're like, I want, let's say you're the let's say you're the verifier, Todd, and I'm someone connecting to you. When I want to initiate an exchange with you, I'll post to some endpoint of yours that you've given me out of band, and you would respond back with this, like, I need you to DID authenticate, and then I would respond back with that.
Gotcha. I think I'm understood. Okay. So somewhere how you, you know, off flow almost works. You're going to pass me something I'm looking for, and then I'm going to respond back with, yes, I know that you have access.
You got it. Yep. Okay. Yeah. And the thing, the key thing with the exchanges endpoint here, is that you can go back and forth any number of times. So, like, you can say, like, I can hit, you know, I can hit your endpoint and you'll say, I need you to DID auth. And then I'm like, okay, here you go. Here's a DID auth. And then you can respond back with either, like, here's your verifiable credential, or you can respond back with, oh, well, now I need you to, prove to me that you're a, you know, your business location is within the United States, right? And then I give you back a credential. I present a credential back to you that says this is my business and it exists in the United States. And then we can go back and forth with the exchanges, stuff like that.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah, this was off because in the Swagger documentation, it shows us for the issuer and the verifier endpoints that they have these options. So.
Yeah, they do have the options. You do not need to provide them at all times.
Okay.
Yeah, they're only when you're like engaged in an exchange of some kind where you need to challenge the client or need to provide a challenge to the client. Only at that point do you need to use those options. Yeah, hope that made sense.
I might have more questions later, but no, I think it gives some clarity what we were looking at then.
Okay, and we'll have a DID authentication test suite soonish. Okay. That uses those parameters.
That's good to keep on our radar too.
Okay. Yep. Okay. Did that answer your question?
Yeah, I think it did. Thank you. Yeah. Is posting questions through the GitHub repo the best way?
These calls are probably the best way to get a. Okay. Get an answer, and we meet, you know, weekly. We're all time challenged these days. And
yeah,
so.
Understood. So I just have one other quick question. You can hopefully point in the right direction. There's also a signature suite, test suite. I was trying to get that up to working this morning, and then I noticed some of you guys always say you work with DID keys. Is that correct?
Yes.
For that test suite. Okay.
Yeah.
We're just trying to figure out if that was something we have to look at now either.
Okay. So there are two that you should probably pay attention to. ID. Unfortunately, this is not, ID. Here we go. So there are two test suites. This one, is a test suite that, I mean, it's just, you know, DigitalBazaar implementing in it right now.
Yeah.
There are a couple of others that actually passed this test suite. We just haven't added them yet. I'm sorry. No, this is the old one. This is the new one. There's a new one. This is the thing that is being, standardized in the BC working group. This is the new one, that basically hardly, I don't think anyone's, there aren't a lot of people that have implemented this one. The ED25519 one is the older one, and this one has, you know, multiple implementers there. The difference between both of them, the signature format is exactly the same except for the type and the crypto suite label. If you're so this will, ED signature 2020. This one that I just put in the chat channel, that's the one that's been deployed across the US for the TrueAge program, and this thing's in production, right? So this one's not going to go anywhere. It's safe to implement it. It will be outlined in the data integrity spec for AED DSA. But if you're doing something that's a little more future facing, you may want to move to the crypto sweep based mechanism. They're really, the implementation for them is like really close except for like two if statements basically.
Okay.
So if you implement one, the chances that you can implement the other are super high.
Gotcha. All right. That's good for understanding. Thank you.
Okay. No problem. All right. Let's go ahead and jump into pull requests next. Requests. Here are our pull requests. I have not had a chance to look at these. We do have the rename app to coordinator. That thing just needs to be merged in. I haven't been able to do that yet. There was 309 was a PR to change the exchange's endpoint. We don't really need to go. This might be a typo that's being fixed, so we'll have to look into that. But it looks like, you know, a typo that's being fixed. Going back, let's see, serve index and docs. Is Andrew here today? I don't see Andrew. Okay, so this is just upgrades to the documentation to help people understand how they can actually develop on the specification. So it looks like Andrew's added a HTTP server serving cores so that you can do just do an NPM install and do local API development. So that one's looking good. That's 312. Go ahead and get this in there. This is one of the things that we talked about last week, which is implementing a verifiable credential container. So all of our top level objects, we made a decision a while ago to make sure that they were container objects. Like if it was a presentation, it shouldn't be a raw presentation, verifiable presentation at the top level. You should have a property named verifiable presentation and you should put the verifiable presentation in there. Same thing with verifiable credential. We did that largely so that you could also pass in things like options. You could provide metadata and do all sorts of things like that. Andrew here has raised a PR, to make sure that that applies to, this endpoint. So just to this, endpoint, here, when you issue a credential in the response, you get back a verifiable credential. That was a bug, that is now or would be fixed by that, PR. Same, fix for, I believe, 314, although he's saying this is a draft, not ready for review, but it's basically making the same kind of change here to make sure that there's a verifiable presentation response, like that when you get a verifiable presentation back from the API, it's encapsulated in a verifiable presentation property. So he's implementing the fix we talked about last week. And then... let's see, adding a 404 not found to exchanges. So this needs bike shedding, I guess. But this is replacing the put with a post. This is something we talked about last week. where it didn't make sense to put data here. You're really posting data to an exchange transaction ID. And then Andrew's adding a 404 for not being able to find a transaction, or sorry, an exchange with a particular transaction ID. I'm sorry, Paul, I totally missed that you were on the queue. Was that an old queue?
Yeah, that was from earlier, but I think Mono, I have to drop off, so I'll try to reach out to you. It was a question on the exchange interface, but I'll have to reach out to you at a different time.
Gotcha. I'm really sorry about that. Totally did not see you on the queue. All right. And so those are all the polls. Remember our process. It's typically 7 days of review. We'd like to see multiple reviewers on these. And then after 7 days, if there are no objections and, you know, change suggestions have been made, we'll merge, those things into the specification. Any questions, concerns about existing pull requests? Okay. If not, we can pick up the conversation we started last week. So we were talking about challenge management in the verifiable credential API, and the conversation was just picking up when we had to basically end the call. So we're going to pick up the conversation where we were last week. Would anyone like to kind of summarize where we got? I can try here. So let me give it a shot. There was a question from Dimitri about how we're implementing challenges. So Todd, this was the initial question you had. This is freshly discussed in the group on how challenges and domains are being implemented. There was a disagreement on where the API endpoint should go. There was one suggestion, that, let me bring up the diagram here. So there was a suggestion that the challenge creation endpoint, so the thing that like creates challenges and tracks challenges, might need to go on the verifier controller, which is this diamond. Ignore the app. We're changing that to controller, verifier controller. Or it needs to go on the verifier service. The argument for putting it on the app is, hey, challenges are business logic, and that's where they really should go. Versus they should go on the verifier service because it's something that's common to many different applications, and so it should be kind of this generalized thing. And I believe we went kind of back and forth on that and didn't really get to a resolution. So let's go ahead and, thank you, Joe, coordinator. Let's go ahead and, pick up, that discussion. Who wants to start? Go ahead, Longley.
Yeah, another thing I would add to the argument for putting this on the verifier service is that challenges in particular are there are a number of ways to get checking for replay attacks wrong, especially in partitioned systems, which are very common in backend implementations these days. And so you want to make sure that the system that's checking the proof atomically also checks that the challenge hasn't been reused, or tracks how many times the challenge has been reused. And so keeping that tightly coupled to where the verification is happening makes it less likely for mistakes to be made. And it makes it easier on people who are writing applications if you give them this feature for them to use. Obviously any application can implement this feature however they want to, but providing it in the service, because it's very commonly needed for, effectively always needed for any kind of authentication, I think that's very valuable.
Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, I think just to echo my notes from last time, is it sounds like these are primarily business rules validating how this challenge is to be used or maintained. And it seems like it's very strange for the verifier to outsource their relationship with the holder through the verifier. So it seems like weird to be using the verifier to manage the state for which you as a verifier coordinator have to maintain anyway. So it feels like a weird layer violation to me still.
So a couple of points in response to that. I'll try to talk slowly since I see you're typing, Manu. So a couple of things were in there. The first was, that it feels strange to verify, to outsource the relationship to the verifier, service. I don't feel that way. I think we're whenever a holder provides a presentation to the coordinator, they turn around and outsource it to the verifier because that helps them. It gives them a tool to help them verify presentations. And part of verifying a presentation, that has a proof on it is, making sure that the challenge is either not reused or not reused a number of times, would come into conflict with business rules. And so the way I see it is, you can make a call to this other system to manage your challenge state for you. And that system can report back to you when you ask it to verify a presentation, how many times that challenge has been reused. And then it's a business decision, to whether or not to reject that presentation based on the number of times the challenge has been reused. And I would also say that there was a second point in there that Joe made about having to manage the state anyway. I don't think you have to manage the state anyway. If you have a call on the verifier service to generate a challenge, then your application can make that call, get a challenge, and put it in a verifiable presentation request that it sends to the holder. The holder turns around and sends the presentation back, which the coordinator then sends to the verifier service. And the verifier service reports back whether or not that challenge has been reused. And it creates a clean abstraction boundary on challenge reuse where the actual coordinator app doesn't care what the challenges are. So they don't have to maintain that state. They just want to know whether or not a challenge has been reused and is a timely challenge.
Gotcha.
Okay. By the way, you haven't been acting me, so it's piling up over there.
I'm having a hard time switching windows.
Well, I agree that they're business rules. So I think we're on the same page there. I think my challenge is that the business rules should be driven by the coordinator. And so if the coordinator is the one driving this, I don't understand how, unless the coordinator is giving VCs to everyone who shows up whatsoever, unless they're doing that, then they are going to have to manage state between the current session and whoever they think the current session is associated with. So that's why I'm saying they have to manage state unless they're letting everyone through and therefore there are no business rules, which is itself a business rule. And hence, I think they are managing state no matter what.
If no one else is on the queue, managing state, I think in that statement is a little too overly broad. There will be services that won't manage state generally at all. But there will also be applications, services that do manage state. But I think specifically we're talking here about the challenge state. And I think with what I just described before, they don't have to manage that state. And managing that state might be a more challenging thing for them to do, given the comments I made earlier about ensuring atomicity with the proofs. Whatever we can do to make it so that there's less state for any particular party to have to manage and get right around security, I think is of great value to the applications that are looking to outsource features, to use a third party of, or a service at least, to provide common features to get them, to help them issue and verify VCs.
All right, go ahead, Joe, and we're going to take a pause because this is just going back and forth between Joe and Dave.
Yeah, I agree. We're not getting much other involvement. I'm not sure why the coordinator managing challenge state would deny atomicity. If the verifier is going to check that, which is a different debate, then there's no reason that the coordinator can't provide that information at the same point. So you can have an atomic check. All of the business validation rules are expected to be in some notion atomic, right? Either you pass the business rules or you don't. And in some cases, I guess you could construct a spectrum. But nobody's really talked about modeling anything like that. But with that, I agree. We should wrap up.
Dimitri, go ahead.
Well, I don't want to give the impression that Joe and Dave are the only ones engaging with this issue. Like, I also care very strongly about this issue. It's come about as a result of implementation experience, both on my end and on Digital Bazaar's. I see that almost every single implementer will need a challenge management mechanism like this. And so there's no reason not to put it in the spec because it's the same for all, like all use cases.
Are there other implementers on the call that need or believe they need a generalized challenge management mechanism in the API? Or is there anyone on the call that's like, I definitely do not think that's a good idea? All right, so where do we go from here? There doesn't seem to be a lot of feedback. Implementers can decide to implement this however they feel. They can implement it wherever they want to. I guess the question is, Joe, would you object to this endpoint being defined? Not specifying where it goes. I don't know if that's like, it could go on the controller. It could go on the service. I'm trying to figure. I'm sorry.
Coordinator.
I'm going to do what Christopher Allen did for like 5 years and keep calling it verifiable claims. And,
yeah.
Thank you, Joe. Coordinator. It could go on the coordinator. It could go on the service. Well, I guess, would anyone object if we defined what this API looks like and where it goes? We kind of leave that vague for now.
I'd actually go the other way. I mean, I think if it's on the coordinator, I have a different opinion about it. My opinion is the coordinator is where it belongs. It shouldn't be on the service.
Yeah, and we've got this.
It makes sense on the service.
Gotcha. Yeah, and I think we've got disagreement on that. So hold on. So do we have consensus that like this is a useful thing to have? It's just we're disagreeing on does it go on the coordinator or does it go on the service?
Well, it is a useful function to define for people to implement. It's not clear that it needs to be exposed as a service to be provided by anybody. Right. What we're talking about are interfaces between different services.
Yep. Okay. Dave, you're on the queue.
I went on the queue to say I think it, because of the atomicity issues, it definitely belongs on the verifier service. But, you know, that's all.
And Dimitri, you're saying it belongs on the verifier service as well or the coordinator?
Service.
Okay. Joe, would, I guess I'm wondering, I'm trying to avoid asking the same question. Can we define this and not say where it goes? Or you're saying if it's defined, we have to specify where it goes and it has to be on the controller?
Well, I'm saying specifying it without specifying where it goes, I think would not help us. If we can specify it, more clearly, that may help get more feedback about this issue.
Sorry, I missed the last thing you said, the last couple of words.
If we explain that this is something that's on the service and this is the API and this is the response, like, I don't think that's written up in a way that we can be concrete about spec text. And maybe if we have spec text, then we can get better engagement on the issue.
So you're saying raise a PR to put this on the service and then we'll discuss it then?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
I mean, I know that's putting me in a disadvantageous state if I just want to oppose this, but that's not my point. My point is we need better conversation.
Okay. All right. Thank you for being open to that, Joe. You noted that having a PR might help move things forward. Next steps are to raise a PR to place the endpoint on the verifier service, understanding that there is no consensus there's no strong consensus on placing it. Error, the PR is just being raised so we can have a detailed conversation. Okay, great. Good. So at least we got ourselves to writing a PR. Mark that ready for PR. And yep, again, thank you, Joe, for being open to at least trying it out in a PR and seeing where the discussion takes us. Next item up is test for issue with default issuer provided. This is issue 274. Okay, so Ori's saying there should be a test to issue a credential with a default issuer provided. This was when we were actually providing who the issuer should be for the endpoint. I don't think we do that anymore. I think we assume the endpoints have issuers pre-configured on them. It's arguable that the tests are done elsewhere. What do we want to do with this issue? I forget. Are you allowed to specify the issuer? Go ahead, Longley.
I don't know if we ever came to a decision here, but the direction we headed in was that issuer instances would already have the issuer field specified. And then what was open to discussion was whether it was okay to include an issuer field when submitting something, and it had to match what was configured. Otherwise, it would produce an error. Or if we should just produce an error if you provide anything at all, no matter whether it passes, whether it matches or not. And I don't know if we ever decided between those two options.
Well, the other option is that people didn't have to follow that model. They could just switch up the issuer as they felt.
Sure, we could document that, but that is just, I think that's a foot gun. It doesn't have any value because whatever keys or capabilities to use keys are configured with the issuing instance, the controller of those keys doesn't change. So if you go change whatever the issuer is, you're probably just going to end up with something that's broken. And so we should probably make it so that you can't do that. I think really the other point I'll make here is the only reason we originally allowed people to say what the issuer was when we were still building this API around a test suite instead of around actual use cases. So we wanted it to be easy to just hit the same instance and give it all the parameters you wanted and just assume that it has access to all the keys that it could possibly need, or, you know, whatever test keys were built with the test suite, all that kind of stuff. But that doesn't match real world use cases for it.
Yep. So yeah, so we were creating the VC API to achieve a test suite, not to actually operate on the use cases. Okay. Any other thoughts on this? Should we allow people to include an issuer option and say it must be ignored? Do we stay silent on it? Do we say allowing the specification of issuer is a foot gun? Don't do it. Thoughts? Go ahead, Brian.
Yeah, I'm just looking at the traceability, what they're doing, and it looks like they've removed it, I think, unless I'm reading it wrong.
Okay, that's interesting. Is there anyone from Trace here? Mahmood? I don't see Mahmood. Paul, Todd, I don't know how often you guys are on the Trace calls.
I've been on Manu, but I'm not following that issue that carefully.
Okay. All right, thanks. How about this? Let's the proposal is to disallow the setting of issuer of options.issuer if it is included, it is ignored. Do we want to throw an error or just silently ignore? We should probably throw an error.
Yeah, we should throw an error, and I don't know if it's options.issuer. I don't remember where this, it might be that you're supposed to omit it from the VC from the credential that you were submitting. Yeah. So it's not in the options field.
Oh, yeah.
You would just omit it in the credential that you're submitting. And I do think it would be a lot easier for systems to just have a schema that looks for that, a JSON schema, for example, rather than, and reject early. Rather than having to go look up things and check the value.
All right. So I don't understand how a credential, how would you match against the, it has to match the issuer that you have.
It's probably the case that most implementations will have that information in memory. So it could check that immediately.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't want to make assumptions about maybe fancy ways people could optimize that away. So it's probably better to just make it so that you are not allowed to submit to include that field.
Can't include it. So if you set the issuer field.
Yeah, you should get an error.
Okay. Sure, to any value, it is assumed that the issuer endpoint will fill that value in, that the issuer endpoint will fill that value in when it is issuing. So is that what we need to make sure that this won't conflict with what the traceability API is doing. If there are no objections, we should raise a PR that states that an error must be thrown if issuer is set calling the endpoint. That an error, raise a PR that states that an error must be thrown if issuer, if credential.issuer calling the issuer endpoint. Okay, so is this ready for PR? Is there anyone on the queue that would disagree with this? Any objections? Basically, raising an error if you try to set the issuer, it's the endpoint that should set the issuer, and it should be configured to set the proper value there.
Mono, does that mean this thing is not a verifiable credential or a credential at all at that point?
Correct. It's not a verifiable credential at that point.
Or even a credential according to the data model if it has no issuer.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to think. I don't know if we really, what do we say about issuer? A verifiable credential must have an issuer property. We don't say anything about a credential. Issuer, verifiable, must have an issuer, So it's compliant to the spec. Right, because we don't say a credential must have an issuer property.
Oh, okay.
I mean, you know, I'm spec lawyering right now, so it's technically true. I don't know if that's a good thing or not. Yeah, I'm not seeing anything that says a credential has to have issuer property.
It needs a credential doesn't need a proof at all, but a verifiable credential does.
Correct. Are you saying that in support of the, you don't really need an issuer on a credential until it's verifiable?
Correct, because the issuer is on the proof.
Mm-hmm.
So there is a state, and there are use cases where we could say, hey, this is a credential, not a verifiable credential.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It's just we haven't found many use cases where formalizing that was important.
That's right. And what you're sending to the issuer endpoint is a credential. It's not a verifiable credential until it's issued. So I think the logic hangs together. Well, I was going to ask Paul if that worked for him, and then we'll go to you, Ted.
Yeah, that's fine by me. I think as long as it's a credential and still meets the specification, then it's fine to say that that field can't be there.
Okay.
I don't know if it says a proof field can't be there, but that kind of would go along with this, I would think.
Yeah.
I'm also not sure if we have the type updated, if we defined a type for a credential, as opposed to a type for a verifiable credential, which I'm sure we have defined in the context.
Yeah, we don't. Ted, you were going to mention.
I think we did at some point somewhere define credential differently than verifiable credential, yes. But my speaking up was, are we saying that an issuer endpoint can only serve verifiable credentials from a single issuer? I'm sort of thinking of...
We're saying
multiple entities behind the thing, right? And if you want to request that the VC that you're going to get be from one of those issuers that this endpoint is handling.
It's an important question. I just noted that we're 2 minutes over time. And we should answer that at some point. Dave, go ahead.
Real quick. I think you have different instances, different endpoints you would hit to get different issuers, but in that light, I think we just also, I also just realized a use case that this is problematic for, which is where you want to put use the same issuer and put two different proofs on the same VC. And so we might not want to do this. We might want to say you have to make sure that the issuer field matches. And that's a good, that is a use case where you sign with signature type A, create proof type A, and then you turn around and send the thing back to get to another place to get proof type B. Okay.
We're out of time. I'm going to strike this. We need to pick this up next week. And that's it for the call today. Thanks everyone for the good conversation. We'll chat again next week. Ciao.
Stay warm.
Bye.